This is Moe and McGee on Fantasy.
Hey everyone, this is Moe and McGee on Fantasy back again. New season, Kevin. How are we feeling? As the new season gets started, I've been doing mock draft after mock draft. My eyes are burning from all the football guys I've been reading. How about you?
Yeah, it's been hot out of the gate here. I must admit, I've been a little distracted between my mock drafts. You have to get up early and watch the FIBA World Cup, where I pray every other day that Anthony Edwards doesn't tear an ACL. So far, so good. But yeah, Kevin, trying to redirect that focus back to fantasy football.
Yeah, we got to save that. We might need to start a whole other Wolves podcast for how much I love Anthony Edwards, but that's for a different show, right?
Absolutely.
This one's all about fantasy football, and since we last talked pre-draft, so that was a while ago, Kevin, we talked about a little speculation on these guys, veterans that need to find somewhere to be. Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, DeAndre Hopkins, they all have signed by now. The first one, let's talk about Dalvin Cook to the Jets. I don't know what to think about this, Kevin. I really don't. I was very excited for Breece Hall. You know that I have a deep-seated love for Michael Carter Jr. Where is your head at with Dalvin?
Yeah, so I wasn't in on Dalvin until you look at the cap hit of $7 million and you're like, okay, that's a pretty good chunk of change. Tempers your expectations for Breece quite a bit, I think, because, you know, they're not giving a one-year $7 million cap hit to Dalvin Cook unless they think they're going to be using him. I'm high on Dalvin Cook for first 6 weeks. After that, and anything's up in the air. So he's not a guy that I'm heavily targeting in drafts, because you want those guys that are going to be active, participating a lot around playoff time. But if you want to get a hot start out of the gate, Dalvin is a great place to look.
Yeah, if you look at Dalvin's numbers, just box, you know, back of the football card numbers, they look good last year. I think he ran for like 1,200-ish yards, had some huge receptions. He was also the leader of like less than 1 yard runs.
A lot of volume.
His efficiency has gone down the last 2 years. I don't know how much is in the tank. I think he, like you said, maybe those first 6 weeks he's going to come out trying to prove everyone wrong. He's not washed. But I have a feeling that Breece Hall is, you know, he looked so good when he was out there last year. I have to believe that he eventually takes over, you know, at least maybe like a 60% to 70% of that workload. And Michael Carter's still there. Michael Carter's going to mix in from now, absolutely, from here, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they cut Zonovan Knight. So they obviously feel good about those running backs that were ahead of him. And I think they'll all kind of mix in. Next up here, we have Zeke to the Patriots. Zeke, a little bit different story. Dalvin, I mentioned $7 million on the cap hit. Zeke only gets 2.9. Is that good news or bad news for you for Ezekiel Elliott?
I think it's good news for Ezekiel Elliott in real life and Patriots fans, because my belief is his role is third and one and goal line battering ram. And he's the best. He's one of the best in the NFL at that. You know, him, Jamal Williams. You know, there's a few of these guys that they're just third and one. They're going to get the yard no matter what.
Yeah.
And it makes me a little disappointed, because I was really high on Ramondre Stevenson. Kevin, you're not going to believe me, I was thinking about taking him in the second round in some early mock drafts, because his usage after Damian Harris went down last year was pretty insane. And the Patriots really didn't do anything to upgrade their receiving core. So it's going to be another run-heavy display from Ramondre Stevenson. And here comes Zeke to take all of the touchdown upside off of that guy.
Yeah, I like that you bring up Ramondre. And I think Ramondre's kind of early career character arc is really interesting. Coming out of Oklahoma, he's this big guy that you're not sure is going to make weight in camp, pretty fast for his size. And in year two, he's turned somehow into like a scat back that's catching 10, 11 catches in a game. And now Zeke comes in to take that goal line work. I think it's really interesting. I expect that same thing to happen. I think Zeke is in there for a very specific role. I don't think they sign him if they don't have that role in mind. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah. Another veteran who is kind of a theme here. I was really excited about Treylon Burks, Kevin. His second year in Tennessee, he was going to be, I thought, somewhat healthy. He ends up not being healthy, and the Titans bring in DeAndre Hopkins. And all signs from camp point that he is the guy. He's probably going to be getting 10 targets a game like we've been, you know, seeing from DeAndre Hopkins. How confident do you feel drafting him in the fourth to fifth round of drafts?
To be honest, not great. The parallels to Julio Jones are a little bit too strong, in that you're talking about a guy that talked about as one of the best receivers in the league, you know, kind of has maybe a little bit of fall off with injury, and then walks over to Tennessee, and you think this could be a revival moment. It just, I don't know. History seems to repeat itself. Has me worried. That being said, if Hopkins available in the sixth, you can get him a little bit of at a little bit of a value. I'm pretty intrigued. I do think there's a chance he has a good season, but it seems pretty boom bust.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't even think you know what? Fuck that, Kevin. I don't agree with you at all. I don't think he's boom bust. I don't think he's boom bust at all.
You think he's locked, loaded?
I think he is going to be a high volume, low yardage, maybe 8-9 touchdowns. I think he'll probably catch low volume passing attack. So 80-90 balls for around 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. Not a bad season by any stretch, but I don't think he'll ever have those 30-point weeks like he used to, where he was catching 10 for 200 and a couple touchdowns, like JJ will do, like Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp. Those guys are going to do that this year. I think Hopkins will settle in 5-6 catches a week, maybe 7, maybe like 80-ish yards, a touchdown every other week. Not bad. Not great. Not bad, though.
Yeah, and I should clarify. I'm talking boom bust from a high risk, high reward perspective. Okay. On season long rather than on a week to week basis. I think there's a chance that he could be a consistent 10 catch guy still, 8-9 catch guy. But there's also a chance that we saw what happened to Robert Woods last year. We saw Julio Jones the year before, and just not getting enough passing volume on a team that wants to pound the rock still.
That's true. Very true. Another thing that's happened since we last recorded, Kevin, is there's been some injuries to major guys. Number one, breaking news today was Jonathan Taylor is going to start on the PUP list. That means
ankle really up after the Tuesday deadline.
No JT for the first 4 weeks of the season. That's why you don't draft until this weekend, because I'm guessing a lot of people spent a first round pick on him and they're kind of shit out of luck right now.
Yep, they're not too pleased with themselves. To be honest, John, we're going to go over a segment later where we're talking about players up and down. Jonathan Taylor would have definitely been on the down for me even before the PUP thing. I just don't know that he's going to mesh well with Anthony Richardson. So I'm completely out on Jonathan Taylor unless he's moved, which it sounds like this could be a play to get moved.
I don't understand. I guess it's more of an NFL thing in general, but so the Colts, well, for one, Jonathan Taylor, you know, it sucks. You know, you're a running back. You're just not going to get paid.
Yep.
You're not getting paid what you're worth. But for the Colts to sit there and say, well, we're not going to pay you because we don't think you're worth it. And then to ask someone for a first round pick back for him. So on one side, he's not worth the money, but he is worth a first round pick.
I do think it was a little bit of the art of the deal with Jim Irsay there of, I'm going to set this asking price so high and hopefully somebody gives me 80% of it.
I guess. Kevin, if you're sitting in the back end of round two, front end of round three, are you really that out on JT?
Yeah, I'd have to see him in the fourth.
Okay.
In the third, I think there's enough guys that have potential workhorse roles. I think the Colts obviously are in a feud with Jonathan Taylor, and I'm not sure we will see him. We definitely won't see him in the first 4 weeks. I'm not sure we'll see him in the first six, and that's half the season if you're talking that's fantasy.
True. Yeah, I suppose the only way you'd take him is if you had, you know, if you're in a keeper league, you had some strong keepers, or it's tough. Like you said, when you're talking about that late three, early fourth even, you got guys like James Conner who's going to start with a workhorse role. Najee Harris is going to be around there. You know he's going to play a bunch.
Travis Etienne.
Yeah, it's tough. So the rest of these injuries aren't as bad. I think most of them are probably going to play week one, but there is some uncertainty around these first few. So Terry McLaurin popped up with turf toe a couple weeks ago. You know, depending on the severity of a turf toe, it could be anywhere from, it sounds like, a week to 3 to 4 to potentially 8. But does this, you know, signal anything for you with Terry McLaurin, or you just drafting him as is?
I am probably just drafting him as is. Maybe a slight downgrade. You take him from maybe middle of his tier to the bottom of his tier, but you're probably not moving him to a different spot, in my opinion. He's a, you know, high target guy when the right guy is throwing the ball. And I'm pretty sure Sam Howell's that right guy. So if you're high on him, you're probably not going to be less high on him because of the turf toe. And if you're low on him, this is just another con in the con side.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Burrow, all signs point to him playing week one. He did have what looked like, oh my God, Kevin, that video of him straining his calf. He couldn't move it, gets carted off the field. Everyone that likes the NFL was kind of holding their breath.
Yeah.
Seems like he's going to be fine week one. Are you a little worried about re-injury? This is a guy that you would have to probably spend top 5 round pick on if you want him on your fantasy team, maybe earlier. Are you worried at all with re-injury, or you're good with him too?
I think I'm good with him too. You know what? He gets to throw to T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and he's good at throwing the football, and that seems pretty open and shut to me. He's recovered from that ACL injury. I think it was 2 years ago. Ended up starting that season on time, a little bit unexpectedly. I think he'd got it out.
Okay.
Is that right?
It was two years ago he tore the ACL. He's good at football, Kevin. You draft those guys. You draft the guys that are good. I'm going to patent that someday, I think. Draft guys that are good at football. Another guy that's good at football, but hard for him to stay on the field, Jerry Jeudy. Another disappointing injury early in the season here. What they're calling like a moderate hamstring strain, but once again, 2 to 4 weeks. He probably misses at least week one, if not week two. Does this move Cortland Sutton up your board? For me, I'll tell you where I'm thinking. I like the discount that's going to get put on Jerry Jeudy right now. I think this offense is going to be better with Sean Payton. I think they're going to be throwing the ball. I think me and you both have a lot of respect for Sean Payton as a football coach. You know, as a guy, he's an absolute douchebag, 100%. Idiot. But as a football coach, he's pretty good. And so I think he probably realizes that Cortland Sutton's good at catching the football, and so is Jerry Jeudy. So to use those guys.
Yeah, I really high on Jeudy, and I kind of have the same take. I'm fine not playing in the first 2 weeks. I do think he'll be probably back by then. Just going off of what I've seen on the old Twitter/X, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Kevin, have you been Xing recently?
It just sounds so dirty. Of course.
It does.
Last guy on the injury roundup list.
He has an X in his name.
Yeah, he has an X in his name. Wow. Look at that segue right there. Jackson Smith and Njigba, JSN. Wrist injury. Early rumors were that he was probably going to see PUP. Does not see PUP. Practices today. Participates in practice. Not full practice. What are your thoughts on Jackson Smith and Njigba?
I'm just kind of down on the situation. So the injury didn't really, you know, I'm sorry, but do you really want me to be like super high on a third receiver on the Seahawks? Pete Carroll obviously is going to want to still run the ball. Now, Geno Smith really did. He supported two fantasy relevant wide receivers all last year. He did a great job with it. I just really don't think there's any way the Seahawk offense can support three fantasy relevant receivers. So do I believe that, I don't know, maybe by the end of the season he overtakes Tyler Lockett? I could see that, you know, plausibility, but I don't think I want to mess with that variability early in the season.
It's fair take. Definitely fair take.
You have a little different take.
Oh my god, I'm so high on Jackson Smith. Different take alert. Holy shit. When CD Lamb was drafted to the Cowboys, they had Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. Similar story, but Alpha's Alpha. And Jackson Smith and Njigba is going to tear this league apart. I think the injury is going to put him in at a nice discount. I am all over JSN. Please, nobody pick him. Everybody's going to fucking snipe him from me.
For this, guys, Kevin has a boner for JSN. I don't see the same way as you. I think he was the best receiver in the draft, but man, DK, so you're telling me that, you know, Alpha's going to Alpha. I think we've seen now that Michael Gallup was not an Alpha. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper, you know, you could call him an Alpha, I suppose. But CeeDee Lamb was always going to go in there and do well. There's so many things going against this guy. He's got two established receivers.
Mm-hmm.
He has Pete Carroll as his head coach.
Yeah, another good point. They're going to want to run the ball with Charbonnet.
You're trying to get his down or what?
Kenneth Walker, you're right. You know what? I better not take him. Yeah. Probably better leave him until like the 13th round, everybody.
Yeah, I don't see the same way as you, but I guess we're probably going to have more arguments here because we're going to go. Me and Kevin both put together a list of three players we're up on, three players we're down on, and this is more, I'd say this is more like ADP, right, Kevin? Like, these are not guys that we, like, wouldn't draft, but these are guys that we're kind of lowering down our draft boards compared to other people.
Right. So, first on my list for guys that I'm lowering relative to other people, Najee Harris. Najee Harris is going to be playing with a running back that is arguably on tape more explosive than him. Najee Harris was playing with that turf toe last year. Is that going to uphold? I'm not sure, but I think we saw enough of Jalen Warren that it's, instead of it being an 80-20 split like we thought it was going to be last year, it's going to be much more of a 60-40. He was not very efficient, and I think that Steelers team is going to be very, very pleased with themselves if they can win games, you know, 20 to 17. They don't want to get in shootouts. They have a great defense. They're going to lean on it. I'm out on Najee Harris at current ADP.
I have to agree with you, Kevin. I just don't see where you would get confidence drafting him, you know, without, after the last 2 years. He was a plodding running back that first year, but got force-fed receptions from Big Ben, who could not throw down the field. The second year, he was not force-fed the receptions, but kind of just survived on huge volume. And now you're saying that some of that volume is going to get taken away with, a passing attack that's probably going to be a little more efficient with a second-year Kenny Pickett, George Pickens. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like you mentioned, Jaylen Warren, who by all, you know, he was one of the MVPs of the preseason. So.
Yeah. And my last two guys, I'm going to rattle these guys off a little bit more quickly here. Greg Dulcich. I think a lot of people are really high on him. He's really a polarizing player, and I definitely fall on the downside. Adam Trautman getting more snaps than Greg Dulcich with these starters is not a good sign, especially when you know that Sean Payton has a mega boner for Adam Trautman. Chris Olave, another guy that both those guys flash up on every big boom metric of predicting future success from rookie players. I just don't see it with Chris Olave and Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is a good quarterback, but I think he's going to want to spread it around. And with where you have to take Chris Olave right now, I'd much rather have those other receivers in that area. I'd rather have Devonta Smith. I'd rather have T. Higgins. I just think their upside, if their wide receiver ones on their team go down, just instantly outweigh what you think you can consistently get from Chris Olave.
Yeah, and once again, I think we said this last year, drafting any Saints player while Dennis Smith is still the head coach, not advised.
No, thank you.
All right, we'll talk about my three players that I'm a little down on. Down on Khalil Herbert. Now, you don't really have to spend, you know, a huge pick on him. My main problem, so you can get him like, I think it's like RB32 or something, which not bad. Once again, this is more about the guys around him. You know, James Cook, Antonio Gibson, Samaje Perine. These are guys that have a chance, if the starter goes down, to do well. And the other guy on his team I'm actually really high on is Roschon Johnson, Kevin. And, you know, I'm going to blame you for that because you were kind of big on Roschon during the whole pre-draft process. And now he gets drafted to a spot where the starter is kind of shaky. They're going to be in low-scoring games running, you know. I still don't think Justin Fields is that good, so they're going to still be trying to run the ball. I like Roschon Johnson more than I like Khalil Herbert, and you can get him a full couple rounds later.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. For some reason, this feels like a lie in my face because I know that you took Khalil Herbert very confidently last year.
I did. But I
know how high I am. I myself am on Roschon Johnson. That makes it a little more believable for me.
All right. Next guy, kind of the same reason, Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, he's going way higher. He's going 14th, you know, RB14, you know, back end of the third round. I mentioned this to you, Kevin, off air, but I really like the receiver value in the third to fourth round. And David Montgomery is kind of he's going to be a thorn in the side of anyone that tries to draft Jahmyr Gibbs. There's a reason they signed David Montgomery. I think, you know, the Lions are very high on Jahmyr Gibbs, but I think they're really high on DeAndre Swift as well, and they still gave a lot of work to Jamal Williams, so that worries me a lot. He wasn't that good in college, and so now we're supposed to believe that he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. I don't see it, but you know, I also didn't watch enough Alabama football last year.
Yeah, neither did I. we did see you had this. It's this exact same argument that you had when we were talking about Zeke and Ramondre Stevenson. Without those touchdowns, just really handicaps your upside. You expect David Montgomery to be there on the goal line versus the slider Jahmyr Gibbs. I was gonna make the argument that the Lions really like to cycle their running backs quite a bit, but that was under old running back coach Deuce Staley. So will that persist in this season, I think, is a fair question. But I understand definitely being down on Jahmyr Gibbs here.
All right, last one's kind of a shocker, Kevin. I held him till last. I'm down on A.J. Brown this year. I think last year was, I'm not going to call it an outlier, but do you really think the Eagles' offense is going to be that good again, where they're going to be scoring that much and that often? It's hard for me to believe. It's, you know, only a few certain guys like Patrick Mahomes or Peyton Manning have been able to support elite, elite offenses year over year. Usually they kind of even back out to the pack as far as efficiency and all that goes. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. I don't really think he's that level of guy. He had a good year last year, absolutely. I also think Devonta Smith, who you can get a full round later, just as good value. Last year, Kevin, you could get A.J. Brown in the third round. He proved to be a lot better than that. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him as an end of first, early second guy. Give me Garrett Wilson over him. Give me Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm bigger on other guys.
Yeah, I disagree with you on will the Eagles be as good on offense this year as last year. I don't think they will be as good. However, it happened so many times last year that they hopped out to three touchdown leads so early and then just packed it in. I do think that there's probably going to be a little bit more passing volume to go around. And they also ran so many of those quarterback push plays on the one and two. You don't end up on the one and two that often in a season. I think there's going to be more touchdowns from a little bit further out. That being said, I think A.J. Brown is probably priced a little high relative to your Garrett Wilsons and Amon-Ra St. Browns. I think those guys have the Justin Jefferson type upside, not in that they will be as good as him, but they can be an alpha and on a good offense, score a lot of fantasy points and end up in the top five. Whereas A.J. Brown, he's got a lot of other good pass catchers on that team, and it's, although he'll still be good, not quite as good as those guys can be.
Yeah, Kevin, this is a long season, so I'm just going to give you this one warning right now. Don't compare people to Justin Jefferson. There's only one.
Oh, my God.
There's only one. All right. Let's turn this a little positive, Kevin. Let's get the people fired up. What are three players that you're up on that you feel good about? And lie to me, Kevin. I know when you're lying.
Oh, these are all straight facts. Garrett Wilson. I think Aaron Rodgers played like two drives this preseason, and one of them ended in a Garrett Wilson touchdown that looked like that was Davante Adams out there, and that's enough for me to just instantly, yeah, that guy's going to finish wide receiver one on the year. Not actually. I'm really high on him. I would take him as high as probably 10th, 9th, 10th. I'm really high on Garrett Wilson relative to where he's going right now. Aaron Rodgers has shown that he will lock in on one guy. And Garrett Wilson definitely can be that guy, especially with that Jets receiving core kind of dwindling after some moves, some injuries, and Denzel Mims got cut. Surprise.
I totally agree with you. That touchdown looked exactly just like Rodgers was not going anywhere else up for that touchdown. He was locked into Garrett Wilson. I totally agree with you. I think he's going to be really good. Just, not Justin Jefferson good, but good.
Next guy I have here, Cooper Kupp, could be Justin Jefferson good. Cooper Kupp, I have In the same, I do have Justin Jefferson in a tier by himself. You'll be happy to know.
Thank you.
However, I put Chase, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill all in that same next tier. I'm really high on Cooper Kupp. He plays on a team that is spending $4.5 million on cornerbacks and $7 million on safeties. Well, that tells me the Rams are going to suck on defense, especially through the air. They're going to be trailing a lot. Good news, they play in a division with the Cardinals, who are spending $7 million on corners, and
they're spending $7 million total on their roster.
Pretty much. And the Seahawks, who are spending $11 million. These are all bottom 10 team, bottom six teams in terms of cornerback spending. It's going to be a shootout in the West this year. That's another reason I was high on some other players that we've discussed earlier. But Cooper Kupp, I think especially, could contend with Justin Jefferson for wide receiver one this year.
Awesome. You got one more guy, Kevin.
Calvin Ridley. Haven't seen him in 2 years, but we saw him finish, I think it was wide receiver four the last full season that he played. Or he was drafted at wide receiver four the following season, I guess. He was top 12 that season. I'm a sucker for the mini clips on Twitter. And he runs really fast routes and looks really open a lot of the time, except for a few drops. It's been a mostly positive preseason for him. Jaguars passing attack should be up. I love Calvin Ridley. Maybe I'll get burnt on this one and Christian Kirk will eat up a lot of it, but I'd rather take a chance on a guy like Ridley in the third or fourth and have a chance at a guy that could finish in the top five for wide receivers.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm a fucking sicko, so I read training camp reports a lot. It's been kind of mixed. You'll read some that like Calvin Ridley is back, like he's going to be super good, and then you'll like the next sentence will say, but you know Christian Kirk's still going to get his, and Evan Engram also looks really good. So I don't know where I land. Like everyone says he looks really good. He's clearly the most talented receiver on the Jaguars. But then when you factor in, you know, Christian Kirk got pretty force-fed the ball near the red zone last year. Mm-hmm. Evan Engram had a great year, and they just re-signed him for big money. Zay Jones. You know, there's a lot of good things that, you know, I'm thinking about Calvin Ridley, but there's also some downside that I can see. But this was supposed to be positive. So let's go to
that's my why he's priced now. In the third or fourth and not the first.
There you go. Okay. That's positive. Nice job.
Yeah, look at that.
All right. Some players that I'm up on Deontay Johnson. Everyone and their mother, probably including you, Kevin, is sucking George Pickens' dick this summer. Just, oh God, look at George Pickens. First play of the preseason, Kenny Pickett to George Pickens, touchdown. Guess who dominated target share last year, Kevin? Guess who was still finished in the top 20 PPR receivers without scoring a single touchdown last year, Kevin? That was Deontay Johnson. I don't see any reason for that to go away. I think Pickens will probably take a little bit of that target share. But there's not really a third receiver in Pittsburgh. Maybe you could, you know, consider Freiermuth the third receiver. But
Allen Robinson? Burn me again, Allen Robinson.
Yeah, Kevin, I dare you. Pick him in the second round again. Deontay Johnson, I think he's just going to be really good. I think he's going to be a top 20 PPR receiver again. I think you can get him. Let's see, Kevin. Let's see what do you think Deontay Johnson goes off of now? He goes wide receiver 32 right now.
Was going to be my comment is, depending on the site, actually Deontay Johnson's all over the place. I've seen him as early as mid-fifth. I've seen him in other spots at late eight, mid to late eight. ADP is all over the place.
That's crazy.
I like him a lot more at the end than I do at the front, but I have a tough time disagreeing with you that he will be a PPR consistent scorer I just don't trust the offense.
Kevin, listen to this, some of these guys that are getting drafted above Deontay Johnson. Mike Evans, who has fucking
Baker Mayfield throwing Evans.
In the ball.
Nope, don't. Mike Evans.
Drake Torched London, Carolina who has Desmond Ritter throwing in the ball.
Mike Evans? No, he's going to have Baker.
No, I'm talking, I'd moved on to Drake London.
Oh, Drake London? Oh, yeah, Deontay.
Sure. Christian Watson? He's getting picked 10 receivers above.
I have very, very love-hate with Christian Watson, but probably Deontay, sure.
DJ Moore is getting picked almost 12 receivers. DJ. I don't know, Kevin.
Game recognized game, DJ Moore.
Deontay Johnson has shown you 2 years now that he can get it done. So I'm going to believe in that. And then we're going to move on because I don't want to hear any of your bullshit anymore. And here's a guy that you should love. He's on your team in real life, is Hayden Hurst. I think he's going to have the most targets on the Panthers this year. I really do. Adam Thielen, fuck that guy. Slow as shit. Can't run a route anymore. DJ Shark, injured. Terrible. Terrace Marshall, you've been... I swear to God, I wish everyone on this that listens to this podcast could talk to Kevin about fantasy football, because he will not. You can't get more than fucking 5 sentences before he's talking about Terrace Marshall. He's no threat to anything. I think Hayden Hurst is gonna start at tight end. He's gonna be the number one target, and you can get him like dead last tight end. Like you can get him after everyone has picked a tight end. He's going, jeez.
You can get him after everybody's picked two tight ends.
Yep, he's going after Irv Smith Jr., who hasn't done shit. Michael Mayer, who apparently can't block, got drafted by the Raiders. I've heard reports that he cannot block. Tyler Conklin is getting drafted like seven tight ends above him. Sam Laporta, who's a rookie for the Lions. Hayden Hurst is going to be the number one tight end for the Panthers, who are going to throw. They have Bryce Young, who's going to rely on his probably, you know, the targets that are close around him. So, you know, Thielen's going to be close. He can't run that fast, so he can't run away from Bryce Young. But I really like him as, you know, he's a free tight end if you go that route.
Yeah, I don't think he leads Carolina in targets. They kept five tight ends on the 53-man in a Frank Reich offense that traditionally puts three or four out there, wide receivers out there. That being said, the price is just too low, and he's going to get at least 60 targets. He's going to be serviceable. You can get him free for 15, or in the 15th round. Yeah, how can you not be up on Hayden Hurst? That's just price wrong.
Yeah, he's just one that I've found myself doing a lot of mock drafts and completely ignoring tight end, gobbling up some value that's falling up because people are drafting one or two tight ends before you even get to Hayden Hurst. So you can kind of scoop some extra value and get him late. Last one here, I'll be quick. Hollywood Brown, you mentioned the Cardinals are going to be horrible. They're going to be like so bad. I think their win projection just like went down to 3.5, and I might take the under still. They're going to be terrible. So they're going to have to throw the ball. They're going to have to throw the ball, Kevin. And I don't see many other places going to go other than Marquise Brown. And the guys around him, once again, you're kind of looking around. It's Jordan Addison, who's going to be the wide receiver 3 for the Vikings. Brandon Cooks in Dallas, Odell Beckham Jr., who's probably going to be the wide receiver 3 in Baltimore. I like Marquise Brown as a wide receiver 1 that you can get at a wide receiver 2 price.
I mean, outside of injury, it kind of feels like the worst thing that can happen to this guy is he could get traded to a contender.
That's true.
I agree. Again, I think people are just counting on the Cardinals being that bad, but we've seen Brandon Cooks produce on some really bad teams. I can't even think of really bad teams off the top of my head right now, but we've seen wide receivers at least perform wide receiver 24 And you know, he's lower than that right now. So I would go ahead and take Hollywood all day, every day.
There you go. All right, so there's three players up and down. Kevin, I love doing this thing. I think last year we didn't really keep track of our bets over the season, but we're going to this year. And these are not going to come off the board until way into the season. So we got some best bets for you guys. If you're bettors, these are some stuff, you know, me and Kevin watch a lot and listen and research a lot about fantasy football, which can kind of inform us about some other things like betting. It's my first one. We've mentioned this 100 times. I'm not going to spend too much longer on it. We got Najee Harris under 975.5 rushing yards. I don't think he gets close to that. I think he'll be injured for some games. And I think Jaylen Warren's a lot better than people think. So I'm going under on his rushing yards prop.
Great pick.
Next one, I think we both have a Ravens pick, as if I can see that right. But I got them over 9.5 wins. Harbaugh's too good of a coach. Lamar's too good of a quarterback. And I think they win 10, 11 games, make it to the playoffs.
I love it. And I'll throw my Ravens pick out here then, since we're on the topic. I have Lamar Jackson plus 1,500 MVP. Now, before I get jumped by the Chiefs fans that listen to this podcast, I still think Patrick Mahomes is most likely to win the MVP. However, if somebody gives you 15-1 odds that Lamar Jackson is going to win the MVP, it's worth a shot putting it out there. I'll take Lamar Jackson MVP. The passing rate should be way up with the offensive coordinator change. Zay Flowers coming into the mix. They have at least intriguing names at receiver. Lamar Jackson should have more opportunities to throw the ball and hopefully should open up some scrambling lanes on that front as well.
Yeah, new offensive coordinator Todd Monken, who came from Georgia, ran a pretty wide open system down there. Kevin, fuck those Chiefs fans, right?
Fuck the Chiefs.
There's going to be some voter fatigue, actually. Like, to be serious, though, there will be some voter fatigue with Patrick Mahomes. I think there's just general, and we've said this, Kevin, I warned the Chiefs fans about this, just like I warned them. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are turning into Tom Brady and the Patriots. People are tired of it. People don't want to hear it and see it.
People hate you because you're good. That's what's happening.
That's right.
And you can feel good about that. Have that.
They're good. No one said they're not good. People just don't want to see you be good for that long. Right. You've had your two Super Bowls. You've had your little Patrick Mahomes. Now, just like win your division and flame out, lose to Joe Burrow in the playoffs or something. All right, Kevin, you got two more picks here.
Yeah, let's hop on Titans over 7.5 wins. Didn't win the division last year, so they're gonna play the Ravens, the Chargers instead of the Bengals and Chiefs. That's a plus. Plus, you get to face the Colts twice and the Texans twice. So I count, you know, there's 5 wins, and they get to play like 10 more games. It seems easy to get to 8 if you're a Titans fan.
There you go. What else you got?
And last one, I hate it. I did not want to put this one down, but I did truly believe it, and I do think that it's a bad line. Jordan Love over 3,350 passing yards, 3,350.5. I went to Packers preseason against the Patriots. Jordan Love played, I think, 3 drives. Deep pass to Romeo Dobbs, nice crossing route to Jaden Reed. I want Jordan Love to suck really badly. But on several plays, he also missed Christian Watson deep. I don't think he's going to miss him deep all season. I think it's pretty safe that he gets to 3,350, especially considering where some of these other, I think Pickett's at 33 even. He just seems dramatically low and in offense that should be fine. And I mentioned that cornerback spending earlier in the podcast, also in the bottom 6, or bottom seven, you have Vikings, Bears, and Lions for least money spent on cornerbacks. Those divisional opponents are going to be weak in the secondary. And I expect, you know, a few shots deep every game, and he'll hit on some of them.
Kevin, well, can you repeat that? You said that the Lions and Bears have really bad secondary, like low paying.
Yeah, the Vikings have $8 million spent on corners. The Bears have $8 million, and the Lions have $11 million. Those are all in the bottom seven of the league.
Kevin, I'm trying to think of a team that also plays the Lions and the Bears
twice. I was trying not to talk up the Vikings this podcast, but look at that.
That's why my last bet, Kevin, because the Lions, the Vikings, they play the Lions twice, the Bears twice. They have weak cornerback groups. And Kevin, once you know it, the Vikings have the best receiver in the NFL, potentially NFL history. He's on the best career trajectory of any receiver in NFL history. That's why I'm taking the Vikings plus 290 to win the North. They have the best player in the North. They have the best quarterback in the North. And I think they have the best, you know, best chance to win. I don't trust the Lions. I don't trust Dan Campbell. I was in US Bank Stadium when I saw Dan Campbell go for it on fourth down over and over and over again. And then when it came to fucking nut up in the fourth quarter, he kicks a 53-yard field goal. They miss it. Vikings win. I don't trust Dan Campbell. Don't trust the Lions. And I think the Vikings have a better quarterback, coach, and they have the best player in the NFL.
So you have the Vikings at plus 290. If they were even odds to win the North, would that bet have made this list?
Probably not, because I think this is just insane value. I as much as that rant sounded like I'm not realistic, Kevin, I am pretty realistic. The defense is going to be rough. It is. The middle linebacker is probably going to be an undrafted free agent from this last draft. Outside of Danielle Hunter, the whole defensive line is kind of newish or oldish and not special. They've signed Byron Murphy, and they'll have Harrison Smith back. So the secondary will be interesting, but pretty unproven everywhere else. So defense is going to be bad. Offense is going to be good, same as last year. Can they win the close games? Can they keep the games close? I personally think that they're going to win the North, but I think this is a way where you can bet it and make some money. I'm not taking even money. I'm taking the plus 290.
All day. Love it.
All right. Nice. Kevin, that's the first episode. We're back.
We're back. Mo and McGee back.
All right. That's been Mo and McGee on Fantasy. We'll see you all season long, folks. Thanks.
See ya.